Today, we're going to look at 2 Timothy chapter 2. 2 Timothy chapter 2. What I'm going to do is go down and read 2 Timothy chapter 2 to us this morning, and then start breaking some verses down a little bit. We're going to probably be breaking verses 1 through 7 down with called lead as your bulletins. Kind of use that to kick us off into lead. Verses numbers 8 through 13 is kind of learn. So we're going to look at lead and learn this morning. And we're going to conclude with verses 14 through 26. So lead and learn. Soldiers of Jesus Christ is the title of the sermon. 2 Timothy chapter 2. 2 Timothy chapter 2. Verse 1. You therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And the things you have heard from me among many witnesses, commit these to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. You, therefore, must endure hardship as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No one engaged in warfare entangles himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who enlisted him as a soldier. And also, if anyone competes in athletics, he is not crowned unless he competes according to the rules. The hardworking farmer must be first to partake of the crops. Consider what I say, and may the Lord give you understanding in all things. So right there, lead. Paul said he's leading us through that. Verse 8, kind of learn. Remember that Jesus Christ of the seed of David was raised from the dead according to my gospel, for which I suffered trouble as an evildoer, even to the point of chains. But the word of God is not chained. Therefore, I endure all things for the sake of the elect, that they also may obtain the salvation which is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. This is a faithful saying. For if we died with him, we shall also live with him. If we endure, we shall also reign with him. If we deny him, he will also deny us. If we are faithless, he remains faithful. He cannot deny himself. So we need to learn. And then conclude, verses 14 through 26. Remind them of these things, charging them before the Lord, not to strive about words to no profit, to the ruin of the hearers. Be diligent to present yourself approved to God, a worker who does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. But shun profane and idle babblings, for they will increase to more ungodliness, and their message will spread like cancer. Hymenaeus and Philetus are of this sort, who have strayed concerning the truth, saying that the resurrection is already past, and they overthrow the faith of some. Nevertheless, the solid foundation of God stands, having this seal, the Lord knows those who are his, and let everyone who names the name of Christ depart from iniquity. But in the great house there are not only vessels of gold and silver, but also of wood and clay, some for honor and some for dishonor. Therefore, if anyone cleanses himself from the latter, he will be a vessel for honor, sanctified and useful for the master, prepared for every good work. Flee also youthful lust, but pursue righteousness, faith, love, peace with those who call on the Lord out of a pure heart. But avoid foolish and ignorant disputes, knowing that they generate strife. And a servant of the Lord must not quarrel, but be gentle to all, able to teach, patient, in humility correcting those who are in opposition, if God perhaps will grant them repentance, so that they may know the truth, and that they may come to their senses and escape the snare of the devil, having been taken captive by him to do his will. Every born again believer in Jesus Christ is a soldier of Jesus Christ. Whether you are disengaged or engaged in battle, you are a soldier of Jesus Christ. We may be the leader at times, and also a learner at times, but we will fall into one of these categories sometime during our Christian life. Within these categories, you will find many different attributes and descriptions. We're going to look at a couple. This morning I'm going to be getting some insights from John MacArthur's commentaries on 2 Timothy, and also from the Nelson New King James Version Study Bible. We're going to look at descriptions of a Christian life. Descriptions of a Christian life. Christians are called to be soldiers. 2 Timothy 2, verse 3. Soldiers. Like a single-minded soldier, we should respond to the orders of our commanding officer, the Lord Jesus, with unquestioning obedience. We are to be farmers. Farmers labor strenuously and consistently in order to reap a fruitful harvest. We also must work hard in serving our Lord. We are called to be athletes. Athletes follow strict training rules so as not to avoid disqualification. We must have self-control in athletes. A worker. Our work is to rightly divide or correctly handle God's Word so as to avoid shame. We are vessels. We must take care to keep ourselves pure, like a clean dish, so that we will be useful for the Master. We are called to be fishers of men. As fishermen, we are called to catch men with the good news of Jesus Christ. We are supposed to be salt. As salt, we act as godly preservatives in an evil society. Moreover, we make people thirsty to know their Creator, God. We are called to be light. As light, we point the way to reconciliation with God, and we reflect God's character, for He is the light. We are branches. As branches, we bear godly fruit as long as we are attached to the vine, which is Jesus Christ. We are stewards. Like administrators, we have responsibilities to manage. God will evaluate how we handled the resources that He has blessed us with. We are ambassadors. We are representatives of God's kingdom to the lost citizens of this world. We are living stones. In former days, God dwelt in physical temple. Now He dwells in His people, the church. We are priests. Like priests, we have the privilege of approaching near to God and the responsibility of helping others in reconciling themselves to God. And we are sojourners. As children of God, we do not belong to this world. This world is not our home. We are only passing through. You see, Paul said to Timothy, he gave him a command. He gave him a command to be strong. As John MacArthur says in his commentary, a command to be strong. He says, "You therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus." Timothy was facing a time of spiritual wavering and weakness. He may have been questioning his calling or his gifts or the sufficiency of God's provision. He was mired in his difficulties of some sort and could not extricate himself. Whatever the particulars, Paul realized that his son in the faith needed to kindle afresh the gift of God which was in him. He says, as we noted in the last chapter, he did not need more from God, but needed to use with commitment and confidence the divine provisions he already possessed. He needed to remember and to exercise the power and love and discipline that the Holy Spirit had provided him and provides every believer in Jesus Christ. He needed to discard his being ashamed of the testimony of the Lord and to be willing to join Paul in suffering for the gospel according to the power of God. He needed, like the apostle, to be convinced that he is able to guard what He had entrusted him until that day, to retain the standard of sound words which he had and heard from Paul in the faith and love which are in Christ Jesus. Paul said, "You therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus." The verb strong is an imperative, making it a command to be strong. Yet it is a command tempered by Paul's deep love for Timothy, his son. There was a tenderness in Paul's heart because there is a tenderness in God's heart. Even the Lord's strongest commands are given in love. He admonishes his children firmly but lovingly. And that is the way Paul admonished his spiritual son Timothy. Because Timothy had sincere faith and was nourished in that faith by his godly mother and grandmother. Because he was specially gifted by God and ordained by the laying on of Paul's hands in the hands of the Ephesian elders. And because the abundant resources mentioned, Timothy had no reason for not being strong. Paul was saying to Timothy, "My son, the Lord's work in Ephesus depends on you. It's divinely appointed and divinely endowed to you as a minister. The effectiveness of his ministry depended not simply in having that call and those resources, but in his faithfully using him in God's power and for God's glory." Isn't it amazing, church, but fully biblical, that although God is sovereign and all-powerful, that He entrusts His adopted children with the sharing of the gospel of Jesus Christ? You see, the verb strong is also passive. He says here, "however," indicating that the source of Timothy's strength was not in himself, but as the text says, it was in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. God's continuing grace, church, in the lives of believers operates in justification and sanctification, in forgiveness and in holiness. And in His grace applied to our service. The same grace that forgives us and makes us holy is the same grace that empowers us. Because we belong to Christ, we are continually in the sphere of His grace. But to enjoy the sphere of blessings, we must live continually in the sphere of obedience. You see, to lead and to learn, I wrote down here, to lead, we have to lead by the power of the Holy Spirit. We have to learn from the giver of the Holy Spirit. I also put one more L as lean. We have to lean on our commander in chief, the captain of our salvation, Jesus Christ. Go back to the opening text now. And let's look at 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7. 2 Timothy 2, I should say, verses 1 through 7. 2 Timothy 2, verses 1 through 7. It says, "You therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And the things that you have heard from me among many witnesses, commit these to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. You therefore must endure hardship as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No one engaged in warfare entangles himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who enlisted him as a soldier. And also, if anyone competes in athletics, he is not crowned unless he competes according to the rules. The hardworking farmer must be first partake of the crops. Consider what I say, and may the Lord give you understanding in all things." You see, every Christian will at some time in their life have a chance to really make an impact on another Christian. Paul did that to Timothy. He's recalling him that Paul, as he led by the power of the Holy Spirit, that Timothy needs to teach men, faithful men, to do so also. You see, you can say that it is all of our responsibilities as believers in Jesus Christ to live and proclaim God's Word. We can only lead by the pure power of the Holy Spirit. We can and should be examples to one another as we submit ourselves completely to the Lordship of Jesus Christ in this spiritual warfare. Acts chapter 1, verse 8 says, "But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem, in all Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth." You remember Jesus said that to him. He says, "Wait here until you are endued with power from on high." It's got to be, we can only lead and go out and teach the gospel by the power of the Holy Spirit. Once again, let's glean some insights from Pastor John MacArthur. You are a soldier of Jesus Christ. Paul uses characteristics of a strong spiritual life is that of a soldier. In his letter to the church at Ephesus, Paul expands on this figure. After his counsel, he cited the armor of God. He says, "Put on the full armor of God, that you may be able to stand firm against the schemes or the wiles of the devil. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the powers, against the world forces of this darkness, against the spiritual forces of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the full armor of God, that you may be able to resist in the evil day. And having done everything," he says, "to stand firm." Paul calls on Timothy to serve the Lord as a soldier, but as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. A spiritual Christian does not simply do minimal duty for his Lord, but he serves his Lord with everything he has. The first mark of a good soldier that Paul mentions is a willingness to suffer hardship. By adding "with me," he gives assurance that he would not ask Timothy to do anything that he himself was not doing or would be willing to do. Now that's a good soldier. That's a good leader. That's a good commander. A soldier will follow a good commander like that. It is difficult for Christians in most of the Western world to understand what serious spiritual warfare and suffering for Christ means. The secular environment in our society is becoming more and more hostile to Christianity and to religion in general. But we are not faced yet with job loss, imprisonment, and execution because of our faith. With few exceptions, being a Christian will not keep a student out of college or a worker from getting a good job. But listen up. The more faithful a Christian becomes, the more the Lord blesses his work, the more Satan will put roadblocks, hardships, and rejection in their way. The more you abide in Jesus Christ, the more evident the spiritual warfare will become in your life. And the more frequent and obvious the hardships will become. You see, a soldier in active service does not have a 9-to-5 job or even a long 60 to 70 hour work week. A soldier. He is a soldier 24 hours a day. Every day of the year. His body, his health, his skills, his time. All that he is belongs to the military in which he serves. Even when he is on leave, he is subject to recall at any time, without notice and for any reason. And when ordered into dangerous duty, he is expected to put his life, his very life on the line, without question or hesitation. That's a good soldier. Consequently, he is separated from his normal environment, so that he will, as the text says, he will not entangle himself in the affairs of everyday life. Entangled means to weave. Paul is not speaking about things that are necessarily wrong in themselves. It is not that a soldier should not have contact at all with his former friends and surroundings, but that he, as a soldier, is not to become caught up or enmeshed, entangled in them. Those things are irrelevant to his soldiering and are always subject to being relinquished. In the same way, a good soldier of Jesus Christ refuses to allow earthly matters to interfere with the fulfillment of his duty to his Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Many Christians, pastors, special ministries, and doctrinally sound churches have been undermined by concerns and activities that are innocent in themselves, but have allowed to crowd out the primary purpose of Jesus Christ and advancing His kingdom against the spiritual forces of darkness. Isn't that interesting? You see, as a good soldier, our desire should be to please the one who enlisted him as a soldier. In the same way, but of far greater importance, a Christian, minding your deepest desires, should be to please the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the commander-in-chief of our salvation, isn't he? He is the one that enlisted us. The strong desire to please other people is a part of fallen man. And because of the continual influence of the old self or the old man, even Christians, we're tempted to be men pleasers. Many Christians succumb to that temptation and become more concerned about pleasing their fellow workers, their neighbors, and their friends more than about pleasing the Lord. Many pastors fall into the trap of wanting to please their congregations or even pleasing their communities more than pleasing the Lord. You see, as Christians, as soldiers of Jesus Christ, we cannot compromise God's truth, God's standards, and God's Word that says we are to be personally looking to holiness and succumb to desires of the people. You see, Paul, they had some trouble in the Corinthian church on staying focused on God's work. He said in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 9 through 15, let me read that to you. He says, "For we are God's fellow workers, you're God's field. You're God's building. According to the grace of God, which was given to me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation and another builds on it. But let each one take heed how he builds on it. For no other foundation can anyone lay than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now if anyone builds on this foundation with gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, straw, each one's work will become clear, for the day will declare it, because it will be revealed by fire, and the fire will test each one's work of what sort it is. If anyone's work which he has built on, it endures, he will receive a reward. If anyone's work is burned, he will suffer loss, but he himself will be saved, yet so as through fire. Or as the message, the paraphrase says, or put another way, you're God's house, using the gift God gave me as a good architect. I design blueprints. Apollos is putting up the walls. Let each carpenter who comes on the job take care to build on the foundation. Remember, there is only one foundation, the one already laid, Jesus Christ. Take particular care in picking out your building materials also. Eventually, there is going to be an inspection. If you use cheap or inferior materials, you'll be found out. The inspection will be thorough and rigorous. You won't get by with anything. If your work passes inspection, fine. If it doesn't, your part of the building will be tore out and started over. But you won't be torn out. You'll survive, but just barely. 2 Timothy 2:7, back to the opening text, says, consider what I say, and may the Lord give you understanding in all things. As a leader, we need to make sure people understand that as a good soldier of Jesus Christ, we have rules and regulations we got to follow. We have basic instructions before we leave earth, right? The Bible. You see, Paul was saying to Timothy, and also to believers today, to take notice. You are a soldier of Jesus Christ. We have God's Word and His Holy Spirit and His promise that as we submit to Him completely, He will guide us into understanding and to the victory. Let's look at number two. We looked at lead, now let's look at learn. Learn. 2 Timothy 2, verses 8 through 13. Learn. Learn means, from a dictionary, to get knowledge of a subject or skill in an art, a trade, etc., by study or experience. Learn, to come to know, to hear. Learn, it says, to memorize. So Paul says, 2 Timothy 2, verse 8 through 13, remember that Christ Jesus of the seed of David was raised from the dead according to my gospel, for which I suffered trouble as an evildoer, even to the point of chains. But the word of God is not chained. Therefore I endure all things for the sake of the elect, that they also may obtain the salvation which is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. So this is a faithful saying. For if we die with Him, we shall also live with Him. If we endure, we shall also reign with Him. If we deny Him, He also will deny us. If we are faithless, He remains faithful. He cannot deny Himself. We must never quit learning, soldiers of Jesus Christ. We must remember also to reflect on what Christ Jesus has done for us and He is continually doing for us. We need to keep going back to God's Word to learn God's ways. You see, Paul reminds Timothy, as well as all believers, that Jesus Christ is our perfect example to learn from. He fought the greatest battle, and He won the greatest victory. Turn with me to John chapter 14. John chapter 14. We're going to look at verses 19 through 26. John chapter 14. We'll go down to verse 19 through 26. You remember, this is part of the upper room discourse. This is the night before the cross. John 14, verse 19. It says, Jesus said, a little while longer, and the world will see me no more. But you will see me, because I live, you will live also. At that day, you will know that I am in my Father, and you in me, and I in you. He who has my commandments and keeps them, it is he who loves me. And he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and manifest myself to him. Judas, not Iscariot, said to him, Lord, how is it that you will manifest yourself to us and not to the world? Jesus answered and said to him, if anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home within him, or our home with him. He who does not love me does not keep my words. And the word which you hear is not mine, but the Father's who sent me. These things I have spoken to you while being present with you. But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all things I said to you. You see, we must learn that as we go back to the Bible and ask and meditate on God's Word, that He will bring us into the truth of His Word by the power of the Holy Spirit. We must learn from Christ. He's the one that taught His disciples the night before the cross. He says, remember, learn. Learn from me. Learn from the things I taught you. The Holy Spirit will bring them back to your remembrance. In Hebrews chapter 5, verse 8 and 9. Hebrews chapter 5, verses 8 and 9. It says, though he was a son, yet he learned obedience by the things which he suffered. And having been perfected, he became the author of eternal salvation to all who obey him. I like what it says here in the commentary, the Nelson Study Bible. It says, he learned obedience. Jesus experienced all of what a person goes through on this earth. He knows how difficult it is to obey God completely, just as he understands the attractions of temptation. Yet, he persisted in obedience, leading and living, I should say, a sinless life. Jesus never sinned. He lived a perfect, sinless life. And it says, having been perfected. This phrase does not suggest that Jesus had not been perfect before. It means that he successfully carried out God's plan for him. He endured suffering and temptation so that he could truly function as our high priest, understanding our weaknesses and interceding before God for us. And the author means cause or source. Jesus' obedience to the Father led him to Calvary, his own death on the cross, the sacrifice of this sinless one. In our place, makes him the source of our salvation. That's why we have to learn from Jesus Christ. As we look into the Bible and learn how he lived his life, learn how he completely, perfectly obeyed the Father, as a soldier ourselves of Jesus Christ, we need to learn from our Commander-in-Chief. Turn over to the book of Colossians, please. Colossians chapter 2. Colossians chapter 2. Verses 9 through 20. For in him dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and you are complete in him, who is ahead of all principality and power. In him you are also circumcised with the circumcision made without hands, by putting off the body of sins of the flesh, by the circumcision of Christ, buried with him in baptism, in which you are also raised with him through faith in the working of God, who raised him from the dead. In you, being dead in your trespasses and the uncircumcision of your flesh, he has made alive together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses, having wiped out the handwriting of requirements that was against us, which was contrary to us. And he has taken it out of the way, having nailed it to the cross. Having disarmed principalities and powers, he made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them in it. Verse 16. So let no one judge you in food or in drink, or regarding a festival or new moons or Sabbaths, which are a shadow of things to come, but the substance is of Christ. Let no one cheat you of your reward, taking delight in false humility and worship of angels, intruding into those things which he has not seen, vainly puffed up by his fleshly mind, and not holding fast to the head, from whom all the body, nourished and knit together by joints and ligaments, grows with the increase that is from God. Therefore, if you died with Christ from the basic principles of the world, why, as though living in the world, do you subject yourselves to regulations? You see, as Paul reminded Timothy, when we remember Jesus Christ and what He has done for us, we remember Him as a resurrected Savior. He is a victor over death, hell, and the grave. Then we, as soldiers, need to learn to trust in Him and His victories. When we do that, our sight picture of the world will be different. As our sovereign Lord, we will then have a sight picture and know that He controls everything, and that we are and totally in the hands of the Lord. Our future is in His hands. We have to remember to just lean on Him and to learn from Him. We need to remember that God's ways are not the world's ways. As it says in 1 John 2, verse 15 through 17, it says, do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world is passing away in the lust of it. But he who does the will of God abides forever. Isn't it a shame that if you put all your faith and trust in the world systems, with the lust of the flesh, with the ambitions and desires that you want, and trust that the world's going to give you everything that satisfies yourself, you're going to lose out. As we close this morning, we looked at lead, we looked at learn. And let's conclude with the last part of the chapter of 2 Timothy, verses 14 through 26. 2 Timothy 2, verse 14 through 26. Remind them of these things, charging them before the Lord not to strive about words to no profit, to the ruin of the hearers. Be diligent to present yourself approved to God, a worker who does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. But shun profane and idle babblings, for they will increase to more ungodliness, and their message will spread like cancer. Hymenaeus and Philetus are of this sort, who have strayed concerning the truth, saying that the resurrection is already past, and the overthrow of the faith of some. Nevertheless, the solid foundation of God stands, having this seal: the Lord knows those who are His. And let everyone who names the name of Christ depart from iniquity. But in the great house, there are not only vessels of gold and silver, but also of wood and clay, some for honor and some for dishonor. Therefore, if anyone cleanses himself from the latter, he will be a vessel for honor, sanctified and useful for the master, prepared for every good work. Flee also youthful lust, but pursue righteousness, faith, love, peace with those who call on the Lord out of a pure heart. But avoid foolish and ignorant disputes, knowing that they generate strife. And a servant of the Lord must not quarrel, but be gentle to all, able to teach, patient, in humility correcting those who are in opposition, if God perhaps will grant them repentance, so that they may know the truth, and that they may come to their senses and escape the snare of the devil, having been taken captive by him to do his will. You see, as a good soldier of Jesus Christ, we need to stay focused on the truth of God's Word and to teach others who will do the same. It is only with a thorough knowledge of God's Word that we can see falsehood, notice it, with expose it, and oppose it. We must remember, as soldiers of Jesus Christ, we have to stand for truth and reject error. I'm going to close with a couple of things this morning in your bulletins. We have a hardcore commitment. I'm going to read that to you. It's called Hardcore Commitment. It was taken from a note found on the desk of an African martyr. He says, "I'm part of a fellowship of the unshamed. I have the Holy Spirit power. The die has been cast. I stepped over the line. The decision had been made. I'm a disciple of His. I won't look back, let up, slow down, back away, or be still. My past is redeemed. My present makes sense. My future is secure. I'm finished and done with low living, sight walking, smooth knees, colorless dreams, tame visions, worldly talking, cheap giving, and dwarfed goals. I no longer need preeminence, prosperity, position, promotions, plaudits, or popularity. I don't have to be right, first, tops, recognized, praised, regarded, or rewarded. I now live by faith, lean on His presence, walk by patience, am uplifted by prayer, and labor with power. My face is set. My gate is fast. My goal is heaven. My road is narrow. My way is rough. My companions are few. My guide is reliable. My mission is clear. I cannot be bought, compromised, deterred, lured away, turned back, deluded, or delayed. I will not flinch in the face of sacrifice, hesitate in the presence of the enemy, or worry about the pool of popularity. I won't give up, shut up, let up, until I have stayed up, stored up, prayed up, paid up, preached up for the cause of Christ. It says, I am a disciple of Jesus. I must go till He comes, give till I drop, preach till all know, and work until He stops me. And when He comes for His own, He will have no problem recognizing me, for my banner will be clear." And that takes me to what Andy Wood wrote back in 2009. It's called The Resurrection Army. He put it here first, a tense truth. He says, "You are a follower of Jesus. You are a citizen of the kingdom that is always one generation from extinction. And you are that generation. On the other hand, you are part of a kingdom that will never die, armed with the most relevant life-giving message ever known to mankind. When we reach out with urgency to a dying generation, yet with confidence in a living God." It says, born on the first Easter and commissioned 40 days later, the history and the destiny of the world has been changed forever and shaped by an army set forth by the Lord Jesus Himself. You are now part of that army. Conceived in the eternal heart of God, nurtured in the womb of a rich man's grave, this army entered the world with very little fanfare. There were no parades, no marches, no legions of soldiers with their pomp and circumstance. Rome hardly noticed. Most of Jerusalem heaved a sigh of relief. The rabble rouser was dead. His disciples terrorized. His followers shocked numb. The armies of death had won again, and life would go on as usual. Then came Sunday. Oh, then came Sunday. Then rolled the stone. Then fell the guardians of the grave. Then rose the Lamb, the Lion, the Prince of Peace. Out came the cry. At first, a hoarse whisper, "He's alive, and he's calling for you." From everywhere they came, Jews and Gentiles, rich and poor, male and female, the religious and the rebels, they saw for themselves the difference a risen Savior would make. And true to the prophecies of Daniel, out of the kingdom of Rome, there arose a kingdom that would never, never die. One that would subdue all other kingdoms and fill the world. And true to God's promise, that kingdom and His resurrection army, your resurrection army, is still alive and well today. What gives this resurrection army its power to overcome? For one thing, this is the only army in the world whose mission is to give life. Every other military entity, however noble, exists to kill, to introduce death to other people. The resurrection army, on the other hand, is commissioned to bring life, eternal life, abundant life. Life filled with meaning and purpose. Your resurrection army is the only one that goes to the battlefield after the battle is won. The armies of death arrive early and often leave quickly. Strategists plan. Officers lead. Soldiers execute their missions of destruction. The resurrection army is so different. Your strategy has already been executed. Your enemies have already been defeated. Life has already conquered death. Your army simply shows up to claim the victory already won by the Lord Jesus Christ. Yours is also the only army that wears someone else's armor. In the armies of death, each soldier must wear his own protective gear. But in the resurrection army, soldiers are specifically instructed to put on the whole armor of God. It is God's armor that shields you from the darts of the enemy. It is God's armor that gives you the weapons to enforce God's victory. It is God's armor that protects you from deceit, capture, or defeat. We conquer through gentleness, and our standard is a cross. We are a network of servants, an army of the meek. We're outmanned, outgunned, and outfunded. We have been laughed at, lied about, rejected, and scorned. But we are children of the King of Ages, servants of the Lord Most High. Our only power is His power, but His power is enough. Our only wisdom is His wisdom, but His wisdom confounds the mighty. We are called in love, sent out with joy, led forth with peace. We endure hardness with patience, respond to insult with kindness, and attack evil with goodness. Faithfulness is our badge of honor. Gentleness is our code of conduct. Self-control is our motto. We are a resurrected army, conceived in the heart of the Father, born out of the tomb of the Son, and energized with the life of the Spirit. Victory is in Jesus Christ, is our battle cry also. And until He returns, whosoever may come and join us. He's alive, and He's calling for you. Let's pray. Father, as we close the service this morning, once again we want to thank You for Your word You've given us. We thank You that You have put on Paul's heart to write to Timothy, that as a soldier of Jesus Christ, we must remain strong. And we can only remain strong when we lean on the power of the Holy Spirit that will help us. Father, I pray that if there is anyone that's listening that has never accepted Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, that You will grant them that salvation, that You will draw them to Yourself, save them, and enlist them in the army of God. I also pray, Lord, that those soldiers of Christ out there that may be wounded, that You'll speak to their hearts right now. That You'll tell them, as You tell us also, to get up, to wake up. That it's not by our own power, but it's by Your Spirit that we can get through. Lord, empower us right now, those who are listening, to keep fighting that good fight of faith. To keep looking into Your word. To get with godly people and in a godly church that will teach them the word of God. That will come alongside of them and help them and have that accountability with one another to know that as a soldier of Jesus Christ, we have certain standards. You have given them to us, your word. But what standards they are, and what freedom we have when we abide in them standards. Lord, I pray that you speak to that specific individual that's down and out right now to get up and keep fighting a good fight of faith. It's in Christ's name I pray. Amen.